This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week, with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We welcome in Howie Rose. Howie's appearance is brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Howie, how you feeling about this team right now? Coming home after a split, game one was as ugly as it gets, but that's long distant memory now after game two, their resiliency. Where are you at feeling about this team heading into game three tonight?
Pretty good, aren't you? I mean, they'd have signed up for a split in L.A., and here we are.
Yeah, I mean, and the pitching matchup would worry me a little bit, Severino against that lineup. Do you have confidence that, you know, again, against Philadelphia, he was good, but broke down against Harper and Castellanos. We saw that. Do you trust Severino against this potent Dodger lineup?
You have to. I mean, there's no choice. And I think, you know, he's proven that he's resilient if he struggles early. You know, you could still push him through five or six and then turn it over to the bullpen and hope for the best. So, yeah, I mean, Severino's been good enough in this postseason as he was during the year to at least inspire the confidence that he's going to keep you in the game, if not a whole lot more. Now, what happens? We'll find out tonight, but I feel good.
There you go. Listen, it doesn't really matter. They have no influence on the game, just like we have no influence in the game when we root on our teams or boo the other teams. I'm curious, though. Did you get the sense that Dodger fans were taking the Mets serious? Like, all right, we know that they won some games, but now it's time to dispose of these guys. Or, wow, these guys really are legit. How do you think Dodger fans feel about the Mets?
I couldn't tell because I couldn't hear them above that ridiculous public address system that they have out there. That was, seriously, I had to keep my headset on between innings, which I don't do, because I couldn't hear myself think, and I had to try to speak over that stinking thing. And Madge, God bless him, he was riding the gain up and down on the board to make sure that I could at least hear myself, because, you know, just a little broadcasting 101 here, if you're trying to preserve your voice, as we all are at this time of year, the last thing you need to do is be running it as high as I was, trying to outdo the background noise, if you will, so that I could even hear myself. Because when you compete with that, you put such a strain on your vocal cords that it can cause a problem. So there's an old friend of mine, you guys wouldn't remember, his name is Doug Gould. And he wrote for the New York Post. He covered the Mets and then later the Islanders. He covered the Islanders during their dynasty years. And we used to have a lot of fun back then covering games and whatnot. And, well, again, this is all relative, but back in 1980s decibel levels, the noise at the Coliseum from that organ was relatively deafening. And we all couldn't take it. Doug Gould actually got up out of his seat, walked to the back of the press box, found the outlet where the organ was plugged in, and he unplugged it. So for that, Doug Gould, A, should win a Nobel Prize, and B, I would be happy to pay for his trip out to Los Angeles if he could do the same thing.
That is fantastic. I love it. Howie Rose with us here. BT and Sal on the Fan. Mets and the Dodgers in Queens. Next couple of games going to be absolutely insane. All right, we know what Lindor's done, and we know what Vientos has done, but Vientos, to me, here's why he's even more intriguing, and I said this to Sal the other day, It was both hits that went to basically center and right field. One, of course, was the granny. I said, man, I said, when he swings and misses and he's vulnerable and kind of flailing away at that low slider on the other other side of the box catcher's shin guard, you know, then he's a little vulnerable. If he can tighten that up, which he has at times this year, he's made great adjustments. I think Vientos could be about, when he's in his prime fully, I think he could be a 285, 290 hitter, which now is like equivalent to like hitting 310, 312, 315. I don't think he's just a power guy. I think he's got a chance to be foul pole to foul pole, high average hitter. You agree?
Well, he's shown what he can do the other way. And a lot of that has to do with some drills that he was doing while he was at Syracuse. JPR and Sebia, the former big league catcher, is the bench coach there, and Dickie Scott's the manager. And I saw JP at the ballpark last homestand, you know, during the Philly series.
Yep.
And we were talking about Vientos, and he was telling me that Mark really got into doing these bat speed drills where first you're using a very heavy bat and then you're using a very light one, and it's all designed to just get a better feel for the bat and ultimately to be able to stay back a little longer and wait a little bit more.
Yep.
And largely he's been able to do that. You've seen the results. Now, power hitter like that is probably always going to have a relatively high chase rate. It's just, I guess, just part of what comes with the territory. But, you know, the year that Mark Vientos has had has been nothing short of incredible, because he wasn't on the radar for this, especially when they went out and spent the $12 billion to sign J.D. Martinez. But to Mark's credit, and I think this is where his season turned, not necessarily at the big league level, but he was very disappointed in spring training after they got J.D. Now, he knew J.D. a little bit because they'd worked out together in the past in Florida. And as disappointed as Mark was, you know, J.D. pulled him aside. And I remember having a conversation with Mark where, you know, he was pretty down. But after that, you know, J.D. kind of got with him a little bit. And Mark went down to Syracuse, and instead of sulking like a lot of kids would do and maybe struggling for a couple of weeks under those circumstances, he was exactly the opposite. And he got into some of those drills that JP was telling me about. And when he came up, remember, he hit a home run to win a game against the Cardinals, and they sent him right back down.
Yes.
Because he was only up because I think Marte was on the paternity list. But he was patient, and credit as well to Dickie Scott and JP Arencibia, because they helped Mark stay focused. Mark's the guy who did all the work, and he gets all the plaudits. But I want to throw some flowers out to Dickie Scott and JP Arencibia, too.
Yeah, Howie, I have no doubt what Lindor and Vientos are going to do. I mean, they've been doing it consistently all year long, especially once Vientos came up, and then Lindor, of course, in the leadoff spot. I do think the Mets are going to need Nimmo or Alonso to really get going if they are, in fact, going to win this series against that potent Dodger lineup. You think the health is the biggest issue for Nimmo? Why the inconsistencies for Nimmo this postseason?
Well, I think that's part of it, and it didn't just flare up. It just became publicly known. I didn't know about it either. I don't think any of us in the traveling party did until he mentioned it in a story in The Athletic a few days ago. But interestingly, whereas all the indications were that he's got to live with it, he'll probably need a PFP after the season's over, whenever that is, Brandon actually was saying the other night after Game 2 on the way back, he said it's actually starting to feel a little better. He's been taking some laser treatment to that, to the heel, which has helped some. But what's ultimately going to heal it is rest along with the treatment. And there's no rest for the weary this time of year. So as long as he's able to go out there without being a liability, and he clearly has not been that, then he's going to keep running out there every day and night and hopefully all the way to the Canyon of Heroes in the best case scenario. Then he can sit down in the motorcade and relax.
Yeah, exactly. Then he could rest. And it sounds like they're not going to make a change, but would you consider having Nimmo DH and maybe put McNeil in left?
I wouldn't rule it out if it becomes more of an issue, but if things stay the way they are right now, I'd be surprised if that happened. But it certainly is open for discussion, I think.
I'm sure you have an opinion on Lindor. Listen, it's one thing not to win a Gold Glove when you probably, another thing not even to be a finalist. I don't know if you missed it with travel, whatever. But
yeah, Lindor,
okay,
no,
not a finalist. What's your reaction to that among three?
Well, I shrug my shoulders because it's all about being the last man standing. And that's how he'll have the last laugh. I mean, certainly watching him every day, it's hard to imagine that there were three shortstops any better qualified. But you know what? who cares right now? If that burns a fire within Francisco that somehow, and I don't think it's possible, drives him any higher than he's been driven over the course of this season, but specifically the postseason, well, good. Use that as motivation, just as Vientos did when they walked Francisco intentionally ahead of him to load the bases the other day. But I love Francisco's focus. I love that he's talking about the only thing that matters right now, and that's winning the whole thing. And 55 years ago today at 3:17 p.m., the Mets won the whole thing for the first time in their history. There'll never be a greater moment than that for this franchise, for those who remember the very beginning. But that's what they're aiming for. And that's what they can all reflect on today, if anybody cares to bring it up.
Yeah, that's great. And it's Howie Rose, of course, BT and Sal. Not only is he saying the right thing, but even his celebrations are understated when everybody else in the Mets universe is going bonkers. You know, Lindor circling the bases, no matter if it's Atlanta or obviously the Grand Slam. He is just locked in and lasered in. And I'm curious, because we know that the back obviously plagued him, Howie. Is it, like, has the pain completely dissipated, or is it still a pretty arduous day-to-day maintenance thing just to get ready to play baseball? Where is he physically?
You know, it's a good question about what he's going through before a game. I should ask him relative to what he was going through 2 or 3 weeks ago, if his preparation has changed or lessened a little bit, just from the medical physical standpoint. But I think that one thing we've learned over the years is that when back problems crop up, they can become somewhat chronic. But the key here is that for all of the imaging that they did, and they did several different things, there was absolutely nothing structural that was damaged, all muscular. And that's the key. That's a very important point. So I remember talking to Francisco after this came up. I asked him if he'd had anything like it before. And he actually told me that he had the same thing way back in 2013. Now, that's 11 years ago. Francisco's 30 now, so he was 19 then. He said it took about 3 weeks before it got better. Well, trust me, as you get older, 3 weeks turns into four and so on and so forth because, you know, as you age, you just don't recover as quickly. But with all of that having been mentioned, it certainly appears that it's less of an issue now. I don't see him wincing as much as he experienced, you know, going back to Atlanta and that last week of the regular season. So I'd like to think that it's less of a factor now, but it's a good thought you've put in my mind to ask him later on.
You're welcome, Howie. I mean, listen, you're not perfect. I got to help you out and pick up the loose ends where I can.
We're all journalists here.
You know, one thing I'd like to see is them stop grabbing him and picking him up, hugging him and picking him up after he hits a big home run. I worry about that back. Howie, what would you
maybe
do?
Maybe that's therapeutic. Maybe
it's maybe you stretch it out a little bit. Like, yeah.
I know, but I'm nervous every time they do it. What would you do for Game 5 here? And the reason why I ask, because it's not just about Game 5. It's also about how they would potentially use Peterson in Games 3 or 4.
Absolutely. It depends how you get to Game 5. After what we saw in Game 1 from Kodai Senga, it has to give you pause, significant pause. You know, I don't know what you could say about that other than flush it down the toilet, but it also depends on where he is between what was last Saturday and a potential start in the fifth game, which even though he didn't throw many pitches, would only be on 4 days rest. We all know how they've tried to, you know, back up his appearances so that can at best replicate something close to the way he trained in Japan, which was pitching only once a week. I don't know. You're exactly right. You know, whether it's Peterson and how they might have to use him tonight and or tomorrow or however else you get there, you know, if they get to Thursday, what's today, Wednesday? If they get to Friday, which would be Game 5, they're down 3-1. Well, you're only one implosion away from the first tee at that point. So you have to hope that however they get to Friday, that if Senga's the option, he's the best option. And I would hold my breath as to whether or not he can be the best option. But they know. They work him internally. They have all the metrics that tell you where he's at physically as best they can break it down. And let's see what happens tonight and tomorrow first.
He was a mess, man. I mean, there's performances where you labor and command. You don't just have quite the entire repertoire going. I mean, he looked lost. McKay missing by a foot and a half. Velo was down. 30 pitches, 10 strikes. Yep. That is, That is alarming to the point I wouldn't start him the rest of the series. I really wouldn't, Howie. I wouldn't start
him. Well, it's scary. The thing of it is, though, you can't use him out of the bullpen in all likelihood. It's very hard to imagine that unless you have enough lead time to know that you're going to need him. I mean, he's got this long, drawn-out routine. This is not like Edwin Diaz, who you call down there and he's ready to go in 45 seconds, because Edwin needs very few pitches to be ready. Senga is probably the polar opposite of that. So remember, you're down one pitcher on the staff anyway, because without Avino off the roster, you've got one extra player on the bench, which is great because they needed that extra left-handed bat in McNeil, but you're one pitcher short relative to that lineup construction in the bullpen. And if you're not going to use Senga as a starter, can you comfortably use him in relief? That's a rhetorical question. My answer would be only if he's got a lot of lead time to get ready. And that's a very tough scenario to devise during a postseason situation.
Historically, Howie, and you've been there for it all, the Mets have had a great advantage in the postseason at home. For me, I go back to 99, the division series, the 2000 division series. You saw what happened in 2000 NLCS, even last round against Philadelphia, where they took the Phillies out in four. Do you think they have a significant home field advantage in this series against the Dodgers?
You can think so if you want, but remember, I'm old enough to remember 1988 when that advantage was on the verge of getting them up 3-1 over the Dodgers until Mike Scioscia came to the plate. So, you know, I throw all of that out the window because, again, your starting pitcher is going to dictate a lot of what happens. Yeah, the crowd in New York is going to be a little more intimidating or involved than the Dodger Stadium crowd generally is, but you know, to me, that's just an ancillary sidebar thought, which rarely comes into play. Now, it came into play, and it had nothing to do with New York. In Philadelphia, and you guys, again, wouldn't remember this, but back in 78, I think, when the Dodgers and Phillies were playing in the league championship series, the Philly crowd was all over the Dodgers, and they looked intimidated then, and yet they came back and the Dodgers won the series anyway. So, I'm serious. I forget who was on the mound. Was it Bert Hooten? I think it was Hooten or Tommy John. I think it was Bert Hooten. And the Philly fans absolutely drove him to distraction. I don't think Met fans are going to be able to do that to Walker Buehler necessarily, but they'll try, and that's half the fun.
Yeah. I didn't watch that series. I was just I was a couple of years old. Of course, I know what happened because the Yankees wound up beating the Dodgers in 78. But as you're going through that, I'm just thinking Steve Carlton, Ron Say, I mean, you know, Steve Garvey, Mike Schmidt, some of the names, Pete Rose in that series. My God. One more thing for you, Howie. So Yankees fans are focused on the Guardians for sure, but the other piece of the brain wanders to the Mets. And then the Met fan is obviously locked in and immersed in this series, but on some level, their brain wanders over to the Yankees to get a little payback from 2000. Whether it's the press box, whether it's on the field, whether it's on the bus, how much Subway Series stuff, even if it's quiet, how much are you hearing? Anything?
I'll give you a nice round number. Zero.
None?
I'm serious. Who cares?
I care. We care.
Well, you guys can have all the fun you want with that, if that's what develops. Mm-hmm. But I'm not thinking about that because I'm not the least bit interested in anything but tonight's game and then tomorrow's and then the one after that. And if it comes down to a Subway Series, well, you can have all the fun you want with that. But all I care about is seeing if this team can win 7 more games. And I don't care if you have to go to the Bronx or Timbuktu to get them. all that matters is that they get them. The Subway Series is going to be for the fans if it develops. But we're a long, long ways away from that, just from the Mets' perspective. As far as the players are concerned, believe me, one thing I've learned being around professional athletes all my life, at least my professional life, is that they have an incredible innate ability to stay on point. And right now, on point means tonight. And, you know, Bobby Valentine used to have an expression that became somewhat cliche, and I know it's boring, and talk radio and social media doesn't want to hear it, but Bobby used to say all the time, the most important game we're playing this year is the one we're playing tonight. And that is more to the point than ever when you get into the phase of the season the Mets are in right now. It's a National League Championship Series that's tied one game apiece. And if you start thinking anything behind and beyond tonight, other than what the coaches and staff have to do preparatory to the rest of the series, then you're missing the point. All these players care about is tonight. Trust me on that.
All right.
You know,
take
whatever internal discussions there might be are very pragmatic and along the lines of what they have to do to beat the Dodgers in game three. They can't afford to let outside noise in because that would be a distraction.
Mets tonight, Howie, of course, game three, Citi Field, going to be wearing the black jerseys.
Oh, they
now
are?
That I have a problem with. That, you know, let me again go back 55 years ago today, take a look at the pictures. Go back 38 years on October 27th. Look at the pictures. They weren't wearing the schmatas they're going to run out there tonight. if anything worries me, you guys can talk about all the X's and O's you want, but I worry about killing the mojo wearing those things.
I couldn't wait to bring it up to you. I was literally at the top of my list of questions because I know how much you hate it. And just for me, it is a you're worried about the mojo a little bit. Severino likes them, so that's why they're going to wear the black jerseys. But I knew, Howie, you'd feel the same as me. These black jerseys, I don't know. I'm a little concerned about game three tonight with that.
This is the only time I am going to go into talk radio mode. What in the world are they thinking?
No, man.
Don't kill the mojo.
Thank you, Howie. That's we appreciate it.
The mojo. And don't tell me, by the way, because I've seen this already on social. Don't tell me, well, they wore them in 2000. They wore them in 2006. Wore them in whatever. How'd that end up?
Yeah.
Huh? Was
pretty,
there a parade?
Pretty well for me.
Huh? Were the Mets in it? Huh? Burn them. Burn every last one of them.
There you go,
He's getting worked up. Attaboy, Howie. Come do the show with us tomorrow, 10 to 2. BT, Sal, and Howie. Let's go.
Talk to my agent.
The great Howie Rose. Howie, have a good call. We look forward to talking to you next week.
If they let me in the building now. Thank you.
So you don't like him? He doesn't like him?
Well, I don't mind the jerseys myself. Like, visually, they're good looking.
Yeah, I
don't
like the black
I don't have a major issue with them. But in this particular spot, I didn't like reading that they're going to be wearing the black jerseys. The first home game, like if you tell me game four or five or after a loss you want to change up the mojo, the first home game of the championship series, you're going to wear the alternate jersey?
It could have been the City Connects. It could have been worse.
Well, they were probably not even allowed to wear those.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.